Can I take a moment just to thank all the people who make a service like this so special for us? It's not only warm in here because the temperature is higher than it is outside. This is a loving building. This is a place where people come together and they try to serve. And we appreciate all of them. From the two-year-olds to the unspecifieds. In the spirit of walk through Bethlehem, I thought we'd take a little walk in thought. The innkeeper's story. Back in the 3700s, by the Jewish calendar that is, I ran a little inn located in a small town called Bethlehem. It's a country in Judea. It was where my children were born. We have a lot of good memories from that place, but there's one memory I think you might find particularly interesting. I think it was about 3758. My daughter and son were 6 and 5, about. Augustus, the Caesar at that time, ordered a new tax plan and ordered every man returning to the city of his birth to register with the tax collector. The entire country went into travel mode. I could see dollar signs, well, shekel signs, in the whole plan. So the first thing I did was triple my room rates. And this is going to be a good year for us. Even at the increased rate, the rooms filled up fast. Most people came just for a few days. I thought, I should have raised my 4 or 5 times. Some were staying for a few days, some longer. They rested up a couple of days and back on the road. As soon as someone checked out, there were several waiting to come in. No room was empty. It wasn't all peace and happiness. The weather was hot, and so were the tempers of the people who had not seen a comfortable bed in many days. Some shouted and smacked their fists on the counter. Some of them spit at me and issued curses on me and my family. But even though I wished I could rent a room to every person who came into town, then I would have made a fortune. I didn't have a place to put them. I had already rented out my room. I was sleeping behind the counter on the floor. The children were up on the roof. Oh, they were having a good time. They had made a big blanket fort. They had escaped from the Egyptians. They had beaten the Assyrians and they had beaten the Philistines. Oh, they had a wonderful time up there. Well, I sighed and rolled my eyes one evening about sunset when another couple came into town. A man came in, like everyone else, looked for a room. Through the open door, I could see his significantly younger wife, who was pregnant, tired and uncomfortable, sitting on the donkey. They had been on the road for about a week, coming all the way from Nazareth. It must have been a rough ride for a pregnant woman who was due any time. He didn't get angry like many of the others, and I told him we had no room. He lowered his head. His shoulders drooped as he turned away. As he reached the door, he looked up to her, shook his head. I could see the life drain out of that poor woman. They stood for a long moment. I looked this way down the street, that way up the street, wondering what to do next. My daughter was tugging at my sleeve, looking at me with those big brown eyes, waiting for me to come up with a solution. Well, I went outside and asked them would they be willing to sleep in a barn. They brightened and eagerly accepted the offer. I took them around back. It was more of a cave, really, dark, damp, and smelly. All the animals owned by the customers were in there, as well as some locals. Some sheep, mostly donkeys. He tied up their donkey with the others and made a spot in the corner to settle in. If I had known what baby this would be, I would have found them a bed inside. But I missed him. I missed him. My daughter never missed anything. She was out there as much as she could be, making new friends, waiting for the big moment. She told me his name was Joseph. He was a carpenter in Nazareth. Hers was Mary. They were married just this year. One evening, just after dark, she came running in. "It's a boy, it's a boy," she was shouting. "They're going to name him Jesus." She wanted me to come out and see him, but I allowed that I was too busy and they should have their privacy. And I missed him again. Looking outside, though, I saw a strange light. It should have been dark that time of night. I stepped out. I saw the light was coming from the sky like someone holding 1,000 lamps in the air. And the whole street was lit up. Somewhere in the distance, I could hear choir singing. It was too far away to make out the lyrics, and the tune was unfamiliar. But it sounded lovely. Soon the music and the light seemed to fade together. But there was left a new bright star in the sky. The odd thing was that it didn't go across the sky and disappear like the others. It seemed to hang right near us, but maybe just north, maybe over Jerusalem. Now, a few minutes later, some shepherds came running into town, all excited, looking in every spot where animals were kept. I thought they must be looking for a lost sheep. One of them looked into my barn and he called out, "Here he is!" So much for their privacy, I thought. They all pressed in past the sheep and the donkeys, talking loudly and singing that same unfamiliar tune. I knew they could not have been part of that choir that I'd heard earlier because they weren't any good. But they seemed to be enjoying themselves, so I just hoped they would not keep all my guests awake all night. After a while, they left, headed out of town, and things got back to normal. Well, the couple in the barn seemed in no hurry to get back home. They stayed for weeks, even looking around to see if about setting up a carpenter's shop here in town. I just paid no attention. As people came and went at my inn, they saw the little family in the barn, turned their noses up at them. Huh, too poor to stay inside, huh? God must have frowned upon them. Probably sinners. Well, tax season was over and the crowd subdued. There was plenty of room in the inn again, but they stayed in the barn. I guessed they were about as poor as they looked. Meanwhile, that new star just sat over Jerusalem every night for close to 2 months. Then one night, I heard people outside speaking with worry in their voices and looking up. The star had moved. Now it was right over us. Very strange. A few hours later, a group of very wealthy men rode into town, on camels no less. Bethlehem had not seen camels in I don't know how long. They had gems and gold and even purple fabric in their clothes. They were looking for a king, but they decided to meet with the family in the barn. I hoped that they would stay in the inn that night, but they spent all their time in the barn. I think they even got some sleep out there. Then in the morning, I mounted up and rode out of town. It certainly was a memorable year. A few days later, early in the morning, my daughter came running in with tears in her eyes. "They're gone," she cried. "They left in the night without even saying goodbye. But they left this on the manger post." She opened her little hand and revealed 3 gold pieces. "And I thought they were poor," I said. "Where did they get that money?" She said, "The rich men gave them gifts." I had missed him again. With all the time he spent behind the inn, I never even saw him. Well, some days later, I heard screaming in the streets. I poked my head out and someone yelled, "They're killing the children!" They're killing the children. I looked farther down the street and saw a group of Roman soldiers stomping down the street with bloody swords, entering each house and coming out. I grabbed my children, gave them a quick hug, told them to be silent. I pushed them into the darkest corner of the room, threw a blanket over them, and sat at my desk. The door burst open. A soldier squinted at the darkened room and said, "Children." "None here," I choked back. He looked around. He saw the quivering blanket. He stomped over to it. With the flick of his bloody sword, the blanket flew off, showed two terrified children clinging to each other with eyes as wide as brass shekels. I held my breath. This couldn't be happening. Not here. Not now. "Too old," he said. And he stomped off and searched the rest of the inn. My children ran to me and I sheltered them under my coat. Then the soldier left as quickly as he'd came. We could breathe easy, but it wasn't so in all the homes. The sound of grieving could be heard for days. It was the child in the barn they were after, but he was gone. I wondered what happened to that little family, and if the child had survived the cruel purge. I later heard that it happened in many towns throughout all of Judea. There could have been no way of escape. Well, the years somehow slipped away. In a flash, my children were grown and gone. I was still running the old inn, but there was never again a year like that. Each year when I saw the shepherds take their sheep up to the hills, I thought of that night when they came running into town and straight to my barn, singing and praising and carrying on so. I wondered if that child was out there somewhere, all grown up. I started hearing stories. Stories about a new rabbi in the country. They said he had not been to all the proper schools, yet he seemed to know the scrolls better than the scribes and the Pharisees. He had healed people the physicians could not help. He'd even raised a man from the dead who had been buried for 4 days. It was all amazing, but it was not until someone mentioned the name Jesus that I took notice. Jesus, that was the name my daughter had said they were going to name him. Could this be the child in the barn? He'd be about that age. I asked, was he from Bethlehem? And was disappointed when they said no. But I perked up again when somebody mentioned Nazareth. Ah, the couple came from Nazareth. That's right. That was where they were from. It was him. I knew it. After all these years, I'd found him. And he wasn't just another man. He's the Messiah. Everyone knew the time was right. I grabbed my coat and my staff. I had to go see him. I had to hear him. I had to meet him and tell him. Tell him what? And I put his parents in a barn? I let him be born with the sheep? I never even had the courtesy to come out and greet him in that smelly old place. No, I put my staff back in the corner, hung up my coat. There was no hope of him receiving me. I had missed him. I kept hearing stories over the months. Maybe it was a couple of years. Folks said I should come out and see him, but I just answered, "Oh, maybe someday." Just could not bring myself to face him. He was so good to everyone. What I did to him was so wrong. I was sure he would say something like, "Oh, my parents told me about you. Go away." Well, it was Passover time again. A lot of people were passing through on the way to Jerusalem. It was just a few hours to the north here. At about noon on preparation day, clouds started rolling in. They came on hard and fast. They were so heavy that it was getting dark. In the mid-afternoon, a thunderstorm hit. The lightning and thunder seemed mostly around Jerusalem, but then they spread out over the entire area. The rain was tremendous. I had never seen anything like it. We all took cover and looked out the small windows. I started to think about the scroll the rabbi read about Noah. It must have been something like this back then. The rain could take us all. But hadn't God said he would not send a flood like that again? Hard to remember when the water started coming in under the door. Ah, and then the earthquake. I thought the inn would collapse. It was fierce. The earthquake and the storm stopped suddenly, and all was quiet. Too quiet. Just felt like something was terribly wrong. All of nature seemed pained. We looked at each other with a strange foreboding in our eyes, wondering what had just happened. It was late that night when the story came to town. Now, normally people did not travel on the Sabbath, but these people were frightened. They just wanted to be as far from Jerusalem as they could get as quick as possible. Jesus had been arrested, put on trial, and condemned to the cross, even though no one could say what crime he'd committed. Then the word was out that they were looking for his friends and supporters, and even people who just listened to him. The temple was closed and guarded. Something had happened there the priest didn't want anyone to see. And with the storm and the earthquake, the people were sure the wrath of God was coming down on Jerusalem, that it might be ashes and rubble by morning. I couldn't believe it. He was gone. In one night, I went from maybe someday to too late. After all the chances I had, he was gone. He was right there all the time, and I had missed him. Suddenly, I felt empty and lost. What could I do? I sat down and stared at the wet, muddy floor and had no answer. Several times during the night, I looked toward the north, toward Jerusalem, expecting the orange glow of fire destroying it like Sodom and Gomorrah. But it never came. In the morning, I watched for smoke, but the sky was clear. I wondered why it was that God did not strike them dead on the spot. Oh, then I wondered why he did not strike me dead. I'd ignored him all these years. I did nothing to help when I could have. Wasn't I just as guilty as they? I stopped looking north, started looking up. Would the fire fall on Bethlehem like the sword fell on it so many years before? One man who was traveling through town said he'd been at the crucifixion and heard Jesus pronouncing forgiveness on the men who were executing him. Perhaps that was the reason the judgment did not come. Well, some came up on the first day of the week, just like it always had. More people came through town, similar stories. Except there were no more arrests and trials. The things seemed to be calming down. Apparently, they were content to be rid of Jesus, did not bother with his followers. Not yet. By the second day, the story changed greatly. The word was that Jesus had actually raised from the dead and left the tomb, just like the man he had raised a year or so before. And other people were raised from the dead the same day as well. I wondered if I could finally go see him. And I asked people where he was, but No one knew. Seemed to have gone into hiding. He would be seen now and then, but it was like he appeared somewhere and vanished again. A few weeks later, the sightings stopped entirely. He had vanished completely. Gone again. Missed again. Some weeks later, two of his friends came to town, and they spoke at the local temple. They told us his whole life had been about forgiveness. The whole temple ceremony process, with its sacrifices, was intended to relate to him as the sacrifice to pay the penalty for the sin of the entire world. And those of us who never met him in person could still accept his sacrifice on our behalf. And we could be his friends, and we could be saved. They said that he told them to travel the whole world and tell everyone about his life, how he left the world on a cloud of angels, and how he would someday come back on that same cloud of angels, gather us together, even the ones who had already died, to take us to live with him. Suddenly I realized it was not too late. I'd not missed him after all. He was still waiting for me to come to him, even though he was not physically here with us. I could still be his friend. I could still tell people who came to my inn the good news of love, forgiveness, salvation for all.